I wish you all were as nervous as I am. I'd feel better. If you'd find Matthew chapter 9, please. Verse number 37 is where we'll start. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for the privilege to be in this meeting.
Yes, Lord.
We ask in Jesus' name that You would help us.
Yes.
As only You can. Encourage the hearts of You people. And we'll thank You and praise You. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Matthew 9 verse 37 says this. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Amen. You know, I'd like to thank the Lord for the privilege that he gives us to labor in his harvest.
Yes, sir.
Now I want to ask you a question. Now I know I'm preaching to missionaries and preachers, but how long has it been since you prayed that God would send forth laborers?
Yes, sir.
I mean, we're supposed to be doing that.
Right.
We're supposed to be praying that God would send forth laborers.
Yes, sir.
Now I told you last night, I believe with all my heart, if you seriously pray about something, God might touch your heart to do something about it.
That's right.
My pastor, Brother Ray Bearden, was preaching out of this text, and he was saying, now y'all need to be praying that God send forth laborers. So Marguerite and I, we got to praying that God send forth laborers. Brother A.J. McClure in Australia, we had about 7 missionaries, maybe 9, out of our home church that's on foreign field. And Brother A.J., when he came back on furlough, he told Sister Sandra, he said, let's pray that God would raise up a family back home, come work with us. So he's praying for help, and I don't know it. My pastor's praying, I'm preaching, you need to pray God send forth laborers.
Yeah.
Marguerite and I caught in the middle.
Yeah.
Praying that God send forth laborers.
Yeah.
You know, really, God uses the ones that's doing the praying.
That's right.
I'm serious.
Yes, sir.
If you want to be used of God, you need to get on your knees, start praying to your Heavenly Father, and listen to the preaching and put into practice what the pastor is preaching. God burdened Marguerite's heart and my heart to be missionaries to Australia. I told you a little bit about that last night. Now, we're in Australia, and there's a family up in Gatlinburg, Tennessee, that's asking us to pray for them, that God help them find a church he'd want them to go to. So Marguerite and I, we're praying that God would give them direction. I prayed for 2 years for them. And God started burdening my heart to come back and start a church. And I said, Lord, people won't understand. I told you last night. People won't understand. But what I needed to do was settle in my heart what God had me to do.
That's right.
I called my pastor, Brother Jeff Clemens. I called my pastor and I told him what I felt like the Lord had me do. And he said, now I'm going to pray. I'll fast and pray with you for 2 weeks, Brother Mike. I'm going to pray. If it's the will of God, if you stay there, then he'll take it off your heart. If he wants you to come back, he won't. So 2 weeks, I fasted and prayed 2 more weeks with my pastor. I called him. He said, God, take it off your heart. I said, no. He said, when are you going to put your house on the market? We'd bought a house. We'd been there 28 years. We'd bought a house 2 more years, and our house had been paid for. He said, when are you going to put your house on the market? I said, I put it on the market yesterday.
Amen.
We come back August 14, 2012, and I preached in my home church that first Sunday, and Brother Jeff's youngest son got saved. My pastor's youngest son got saved. Preached in the Christian school that week, 2 kids got saved.
Amen.
We had our first service August 26, 2012. We started with a Brush Arbor meeting. you know, like churches, you start. Started with Old Brush Arbor, maybe. And there was a 26-year-old woman, had tattoos all over her. She come forward, and Marguerite, my wife, was helping her, and she said, I've lived a wicked life, wicked life. I mean, a wicked life. And Marguerite said, honey, you don't have to tell me nothing. Said, you just tell the Lord, and He'll take care of it.
Amen.
And she shared with her, and that young lady got saved and started coming along to church and bringing people with her.
Amen.
Bringing people with her. God give us a man to pastor the church there in Gatlinburg. We was with it almost 6 years. They got a pastor now, and I was praying about Brother Steve Hensley, pastor friend of ours. He started a church, planted a church down in Spring City, Tennessee. God burdened his heart to take a little church up in Piatt, Idaho. And Brother Steve asked Marguerite and I, will we pray that God would touch older preachers' hearts, come work with him and train young preachers to go out and plant churches. So Marguerite and I was praying that God would burden older preachers' hearts to go to Idaho and work with brothers. We're praying. God worked through prayer to get us to Australia. God worked through prayer. I prayed for that family in Gatlinburg for 2 years. Every day I prayed for them. God gave them direction, what church he wanted him to go to. God burdened my heart to come back and start a church.
Amen.
We planted that church. Now I'm praying that God would touch somebody's heart to go to Idaho. And God touched our hearts to go to Idaho. I told you last night, Boise City, Idaho, 250,000 people, no independent Baptist church. Idaho State College is in Boise. What an opportunity to reach young people.
Right.
It's an hour drive from Boise to get to Payette, an hour drive. Between Payette and Boise, I told you, there's 750,000 people and spread out, and there's only 5 independent Baptist churches. When you get to Payette and go north, you drive 7 hours and there's no independent Baptist church. Now, what we're going to do is, by the grace of God, we're going to help Brother Steve train young preachers, and when they go out, Marguerite and I are going to go with them. And we're going to work with that young family until they get comfortable and confident to carry on by themselves. And then we're going to come back to Lighthouse Baptist Church there in Payette and go out with another family. You know, sometimes young preachers get discouraged.
Yes.
And there have been some young preachers started churches out west and they get discouraged, have no help, and they quit.
Yep.
And then also what we're going to do is we're going to do some furlough relief when those churches get started. And if some young preacher needs a break, Marguerite and I are going to go give them a break. And we'll be with them. We'll be with the church. So when they come back, they got a church to come back to. There's been pastors out there that have left on furlough. When they went back, they didn't have a church.
Right.
You know, they in the book of Acts, they sent them out 2 by 2. Right? And so, you know, I don't think there's a better way to do it than the way God established it. So we're going to go with those young preachers and also going to help them. We're supposed to be praying that God would send forth laborers. Now, I want to ask you a question. How many of you have ever heard of a man by the name of Andrew Fuller? Anybody else heard of Andrew Fuller? 2? How many of you have heard of William Carey? Oh, look at the hands. Look at the hands. William Carey in 1792 told a group of people, I'll go down if you'll hold the ropes. I'll go down if you hold the ropes. Andrew Fuller was one of those men that was standing there and committed himself to William Carey and said, I'll hold the ropes. I'll hold the ropes. You know, we talk about missionaries going to a foreign field or going to another state or going somewhere and share the gospel. We talk about missionaries, they make sacrifices, and they do. But a lot of times we forget about the people that's faithful that stay at home and hold the ropes so those other missionaries could go. Do you know what little research I've done? William Carey never went to a church and presented his burden. He never went and raised support. You know who raised his support? The people that stayed back home, the people that held the ropes. Andrew Fuller presented William Carey's ministry.
Yes, sir.
And labored, and he held the ropes until he died. I wish that we could get our people back that stay at home to see how important it is for them to be faithful to their church and be faithful to helping missions and be faithful to give, because if they're not faithful, missionaries can't stay on the field. Missionaries can't go and they can't stay on the field. I told you last night that Americans don't have a burden for Americans. When we come back, we lost 52% of our support. Marguerite and I have not changed. Our ministry's not changed. Our doctrine's not changed. Just our location has changed. Because we left Australia and come back to Tennessee and started a church, 52% of our support dropped. We had two churches in Sevier County, the county we went to. There's two churches there that supported us. One of them dropped us before we left the field. I wrote a letter. They dropped me before I left the field. The other church, when I got back, I wrote them a letter before I left, a letter when I got back, and then one of their men saw me in town, and then a pastor called me, and he said, "Are you back?" I said, "Brother, I wrote two letters. You've got two letters from me." "Well, I've not saw them yet." And he said, "Let's meet and we'll have lunch." And so I met with him. And we're having lunch. And I'm just about to... I thought we was having some fellowship. I'm just about to take my first bite. And he says, "Brother, I'm just meeting with you to tell you why I don't think you're needed here. And why I'm not going to support you. And why I'm not going to help you." So I just laid down my fork and let him do his talking. Just listen to him. Our folks don't have a burden for our folks.
Right.
6 years later, I'm in a funeral home. I'm preaching a funeral, and he's there. The man I'm preaching a funeral for is his brother's father-in-law, who I got to lead to the Lord. His father-in-law, when I went to witness to him, he said, "My sister sent you, didn't she?" And I said, "Yes." He said, "I thought so." And he wasn't happy that I was there at all. I stayed about an hour or so. And his sister told me later, said, "I just want to make you aware, Brother Mike," said, he told me he thought about killing you while you was there. And I said, "Well, I'm glad he didn't." A number of years later, his cancer got worse. And you know what he did? He texted his sister and said, "Would you have your preacher come see me?"
Amen.
And I went to see him in hospital, and he'd been on a feeding tube for 3 years, and he had a trach tube. He couldn't talk, and he wrote, "I owe you an apology." I said, "You don't owe me an apology." "Yes, I do. I owe you an apology. I want you to forgive me." I said, "What do you owe me an apology for?" He said, "The way I talked to you about the church." And I said, "I forgive you." And he started crying. He said, "I don't know what's going to happen to me." And I said, "Rick, we can take care of that right now if you really want to." I started sharing the gospel with him. He said, "Why would he do everything for me when I have done nothing for him?" I said, "It's because he's God. And it's because of grace. We're saved by grace through faith, not of ourselves." I said, "Rick, if you had the best health in the world, there's nothing you could do would cause him to save you. He just saved you because he's God and because of grace and because you asked him to." I said, "You need to tell God you're a sinner. Ask him to forgive you and come in your heart and save you." He wrote down, "I am a sinner." And I said, "Now you need to ask him to forgive you and come in your heart and save you." He said, "I already did that." He wrote, "I already did that." I said, "When did you do that?" "Well, I'm talking to you." And he said, "Yes." I said, "According to the Word of God, he saved your soul. If you really mean it with all your heart, he saved you when you asked him to." He said, "I don't feel any different." I said, "It's not feelings, it's faith.
Right.
For by grace are you saved through faith." And he said, he wrote this, "I guess I'll just have to trust him." I said, "You got it. You got it. Just trust him.
Amen.
Trust him."
Amen.
When he asked me would I preach his funeral. He died about 3 months later. He asked me would I preach his funeral, and I said yes. And I'm there in the nursing home right just a night or so before he died, and he's apologizing to his family. He can't talk, but his mother is holding a phone up to his ear, and he's writing down, and she's reading to him. He called his family, apologized to all of them. He apologized to the nurses, and that nurse come in, and he looks at that nurse, and he does this. He looked at that nurse, said, "What's he saying?" I said, "He just wants to go to sleep and wake up in heaven."
Amen.
And he goes. Then he looks at that nurse and he says,
"Yeah."
Amen.
And he said, "What's he saying?" I said, "Now he wants to know you going to heaven. He wants to know you saved." And he goes. And that guy said, Yeah, I'm saved. I'm saved." And Rick goes. You know, isn't it a blessing when somebody gets saved? They get interested in somebody else.
Yeah.
They get interested in somebody else. That night, right before I went up to preach, and that pastor that told me why he couldn't support me, he shook my hand, hugged my neck, and he leaned over and whispered in my ear, and here's what he said: "You've done a wonderful work here. It may not mean much to you for me to say this, but you've done a wonderful work." He said, "You've got people in church that's been out of church 50-something years. Nobody else could get them in. You've got to see some hard people saved. And I just want you to know you've done a wonderful work." I said, "It does mean something to me."
Yeah.
When I preached that night, I preached about the grace of God.
Yeah.
And it's the grace of God that anybody is saved.
That's right.
And I said, Rick told me he wanted me to witness to his brother. His brother's sitting there. And his brothers, they say he's a mean man. He ain't afraid of nobody or nothing. And I said, he told me he wanted me to witness to his brother. I remember when his sister sent me to talk to him. And I asked him, I said, "Can I tell your brother you sent me?" And he said, I said, "You want me to take that paper and show him where you wrote it? Would you pray for his brother? His brother's name's Billy. Pray that God would work in Billy's heart and save him." I tried talking to him after the funeral. He told me it's all right, but he sure wasn't convincing.
Right.
He wasn't convincing. I don't know if God's called you to preach or God's touched your heart to be a missionary or evangelist or whatever. And if you feel like you're just one of them that's sitting on a pew and you don't have anything to do, I wish I could get you to see how important you are in the ministry
yes,
of God.
Amen.
If we as churches don't do our part,
yeah,
we're not going to be able to fulfill that great
right
commission.
Amen.
We can't get the job done.
Right.
And people that stay at home, work jobs, faithful to church, and support missionaries, I wish you knew how important you are
Amen
in the ministry.
That's right.
Because if it's not for you, then missionaries can't go. And if it's not for you,
Amen,
missionaries can't stay on the
right
field.
Amen. Right.
You know, most of you didn't know Andrew Fuller, but heaven knew about him.
Yeah.
Heaven knew about him.
Amen.
Heaven knew about him. Most people know about William Carey, and I'm thankful that heaven knows about him. Now, most people may not hear about you, but heaven knows about you.
Amen.
If you're being faithful, sharing the Word of God when you can, and supporting missionaries, I want you to know that's one of the greatest ministries there is, helping
yes, sir,
somebody else. You know, a lot of people like to be out in the limelight.
Yep.
I went to a preacher's fellowship meeting here the other day. And let me back. When I first got saved, I was wanting to do something. The pastor says, "We need somebody to help us mow the yard. We need somebody to help us clean the restrooms. Or we need somebody just doing stuff around the church." And Marguerite and I was sitting there. We wondered, why are these people not volunteering? Why are they not volunteering? So I'd say, Marguerite and I'll do it. Marguerite and I'll do it. And, I mean, we're mowing the yard and cleaning and doing whatever. And you know what people got to saying, some of the other people? Mike's trying to take over around here. Mike's trying to take over around here. I just doing something they didn't want to do.
Yeah.
I was in a preacher's fellowship meeting the other day, and the pastor said, I need a volunteer. So I'm thinking, I'm looking around, and I've only been in this fellowship two times, and I'm looking around, and nobody's volunteering. And I'm remembering, you know, how it was for my pastor. And I said, Brother, what is it you need? What is it you need? I'll help you. He said, come up here and preach for 10 minutes. That's the first time I ever volunteered to preach. Them other preachers must have knew what was going on. He only had 10 minutes to fill in the time. So I volunteered. You know what? A number of months ago, Marguerite and I, we was up in Idaho. And there was this man, he said, you know, when you turn 65, nobody wants you anymore. You about, you know, your ministry is pretty well over with and nobody wants you anymore. And I'm telling you what I thought, what a load of rubbish.
Yeah.
What a load of rubbish.
Yep.
My wife, she took it to heart. Mike, we're 65. You know, nobody will want us. We're 65. Marguerite, they're praying for older people up here. We qualify. We qualify. We qualify.
Amen.
Marguerite and I, when we was in Australia for those 28 years, we helped Brother A.J. McClure plant one church. And then when we went back, Brother Gene McCraw, he called me and he said, Brother Mike, I'm going to have surgery. Would you come and help me? I like being a helper. I don't mind being a second man. I like being a helper. And Marguerite and I went and we helped Brother Gene, Miss Joanne McCraw. We helped them for a little over a year. Brother Gene had three surgeries that year. And Miss Joanne had two surgeries and plus she broke her foot. I told her she'd keep that foot out of her mouth, it'd heal quicker, but she wouldn't listen to me. Then Brother Gene, he would send me off when he'd hear of a church that needed some help. They was out of a pastor or the missionary was gone. He'd send me up and I'd hold the fort. I'd go up and preach and then come back. And then Brother Gene would send me somewhere else. And we got to help Brother Gene and Brother A.J. both are in heaven now. But Marguerite and I, we got to help six or seven different churches over there in Australia. And we got to plant three churches. Help Brother A.J. with the first one, plant two other churches.
Amen.
While we're there. We got to plant one church in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. They got a pastor now and we're headed for Idaho.
Amen.
Would you please, I asked you last night, would you please pray that God would touch hearts of people, that they would hold the ropes for us?
Right.
We're willing to go. We're willing to go. We can't wait to go. I wrote all my former supporting churches that dropped me, and I've told them what we're doing. It would be a real blessing if they just take us back on and we wouldn't have to, you know, do the deputation trail again. But we've done it before. Would you pray that God would touch the hearts of people to hold the ropes for us?
Amen.
We're willing to go. And we got a house that we need to sell up in Gatlinburg. I said one church, anybody want to buy a house in Gatlinburg? A little teenager raised his hand.
Yeah.
And I said, anybody got more money than a teenager? But we need to sell our house. We need God to raise our support. And when I'm going around, I'm trying to make people aware how important they are in the ministry.
Amen.
I'm trying to make those Andrew Fullers that stay at home and hold the ropes.
Yep.
You know, Brother Fuller, he buried his first wife. He had 11 children. He buried his first wife and 8 children. And he didn't quit, didn't give up.
Amen.
He held the ropes until God called him home.
Amen.
What you know what makes people really hold the rope? People on the other end's important.
Yep.
People on the other end's important.
Amen.
This may be a little harsh, but I'm going to say it anyway.
Yeah.
You know why those churches dropped us? Because we wasn't important to them. As we should have been. I tell people, the only reason you should support me is God impressed on your heart to do it.
Sure. Amen. Amen.
The only reason you should drop me is God impressed on your heart to do it.
Right. That's right.
If somebody's important you on the other end, you're going to get a rope burn before you turn loose.
Right.
You ever got a rope burn?
Yep.
They ain't fun. I was deer hunting with a friend one time, and he threw him a rope up in the tree, laid his bow down. He climbed that rope, climbed that tree, pulled up his bow, and he was sitting up there. And when he got through hunting, of course he didn't get anything. He let that bow down, and he started climbing down that rope. And by the time he got halfway down, he turned loose and dropped. And I thought he was going to hit on that bow. I said, "Watch out, bow." Boy, he held onto that rope real tight. And when he hit the end of that rope, it just about jerked him in two. His feet just barely did scrub the ground like this. He hollered, "Oh, my wings! My wings! You about made me pull my wings off." You say, "What's that got to do?" I'm telling you, I'm talking to you about holding on the ropes.
Yeah.
Hold on till your wings get pulled off.
Yeah.
Hang on to the rope.
Amen.
Don't turn loose.
Amen.
There's somebody on the other end's important.
Amen.
You know that man that told me that he wasn't going to help me because I wasn't needed? There's a few of his kinfolk got saved. His kinfolk got saved while we was there. And some of his kinfolk got in church, had been out of church 50-something years.
Amen.
Please hold the ropes.
Amen.
Please don't give up. Please hang on.
Amen.
Be faithful.
Yes, sir.
I tell the churches that supporting us now, I say, "Don't quit. We might do something one day and you'll miss out."
Yeah.
My Heavenly Father, I thank You for the privilege You give me to share a few words. I pray You encourage Your people. Thank You for their faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen.